Would you all please pray with me?
May the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts, may it all be acceptable to you, O God, who is our strength and our Redeemer. Amen.
So when I first read our scripture for today, my immediate thought went back to Vacation Bible School from last summer. Now, those who volunteered at VBS remember we had the whole manna from heaven story and song and dance, and it just came to mind of all the kids learning that scripture passage. And often when we read our scripture for today, we think the lesson for it in it is for us to trust God and that God will provide. Now, that is a good lesson to be had from it. It is one of the many lessons that we can take from Scripture. But today, I'm turning the message around for you. And I have a sermon entitled, I hear myself talking back to me. I have a message entitled for you, You Are the Stranger. So, as we just heard in our scripture that Mary so eloquently read for us, we have Elijah the prophet. Now, he's been run out of the country because he has told King Ahab that they are worshiping Baal, another god, and that that is wrong, and that's why all this calamity has happened to them. Well, if someone comes to you and says, you're doing it wrong, and that's why you're not having a good life, you're going to run that sucker out of town. And that's what happened to Elijah. So he's out. But what's interesting is when we read the scripture, most of the time, we associate ourselves with Elijah, the prophet of Israel's God, of our God. We take on that understanding. And yet, as we know, history has many angles and viewpoints. So today, instead of looking at Elijah and having that commonality with him, instead, I invite you to look at the widow and see the widow and find our commonality with her. So instead of looking at the widow as the stranger, let's look at Elijah as the stranger in this story. I mean, after all, Elijah has been run out of town, so he comes to the widow's town, and he's the foreigner. He's the stranger. He doesn't belong there. So we get to flip the script. Today, Elijah is the stranger. You are the stranger. Now, I invite you to imagine this widow and her point of view, her side of the story, if you will. So think of it. One day she's out by the gates of her town. It's a wealthy town. They're on the coast. There's a big trading section that goes through. It's very affluent. But she's not privy to any of this affluentness. She doesn't even have two sticks to rub together to make a fire. That is why she's at the town's edge, at the gate, to go and look for sticks so that she might create a fire. Now, while she's there, this stranger, this foreigner, Elijah, comes along. Now, we heard Elijah that he was on the lookout for this widow. But what if the widow was also on the lookout for Elijah? Now, even though we presume that she doesn't worship the same God Elijah does, she makes reference, after all, to Elijah's God, saying, surely as the Lord your God lives. So she knows of his God, but perceivably she doesn't worship that same God. But what if she had her own experience with God, and she now is expecting Elijah to show up? Reverend Dr. Will Gaffney, who was a womanist biblical scholar in Hebrew and in the Hebrew Bible itself, offers insights into what a conversation between this widow and God might look like. Dr. Gaffney writes, the widow was spending more and more time each day looking for wood that was getting harder and harder to find. Hers was not the only hungry mouth in town. She was not the only one looking for scraps of firewood. So one day she hears a voice, as strong as thunder and as gentle as rain, calling her by name. She unbent her aching back and looked around, and when she looked around, she saw some children playing. And this woman ran over to the children, clapping at them, saying, "Shoo, shoo, go home to your mothers." She bent back over, picking up the firewood, when she heard her name again. She looks up and says, "Who speaks to me?" And then the thundering loud voice proclaims to her, "I am God, whose name is holy, the God of all creation." "I know, Mackenzie, right? That is the voice of God calling out." She says to God, "Are you Baal, the other God?" And he says, God says, she says to her, "Baal is the child playing at my feet. I am the God of all gods." And the woman, the widow, asks, "Well, what do you want with me?" God replies, "I am sending you a prophet." And do as he asks. She asks, "Well, what is he going to ask of me, God?" And God replies, "The food on your table and the food that's in your child's mouth, give it to him." She wonders, "Well, why would I do that? I don't even have enough food for me and my own child." And God replies, "Because I will feed you and your child. My word is faithful and true." So this woman, hearing God, she goes off and muttering to herself. She takes a handful of sticks. She heads home. But then the prophet arrives, and he asks her to do not just that, but to do more for him, to serve him. And she decides, "I'll do this, but I'm going to do it because I want to put your God to a test." That's what Reverend Gaffney suggests. So this woman, this widow, she has no legal requirement to help this stranger, the prophet Elijah, when he comes to the gates of town, because, I mean, he's not even coming to her house. She has no obligation to him. And yet she serves this stranger. Elijah, who's from a foreign land, who is very demanding, saying, "No, feed me now and worry about yourself and your child later." She feeds him. She serves the stranger. This woman put Elijah first, followed by herself and her son. Here on the outskirts of town, at the city gates, where this love of stranger is happening. Reverend Gaffney also writes that the gate is a marginal place, a liminal space, a place of transition and change. And liminal spaces are the places where the Holy Divine often breaks through into the needs and hunger of this world. So this woman, a stranger to Elijah, and Elijah was a stranger to her, they're both strangers. You, my friends, are also strangers. Can you remember a time when you were the stranger and you were helped? Can you remember that time? Think of it. When the person who helped you out didn't know you, you were a complete stranger to them. Maybe it was when you were a few cents short buying coffee, and the barista or somebody behind you, you know, covered the tab. Maybe it was when you were shoveling snow in your driveway, not this year, maybe last year, and an unknown neighbor came up and just started helping you. Maybe it was as simple as somebody holding the door for you when you were carrying a big load. Maybe it was an angel who paid for your car to be repaired, or wiped away your student loan debts. You are the stranger. And now think about it. When have you helped people? Was it a person in the checkout line who needed a listening ear and you provided that to them? Was it you who bought the cup of coffee in the Dunkin' Donuts drive-through line for the person behind you? Was it you donating for people that you will never, ever meet like those in Turkey and Syria. The people you helped were strangers, which means you were also a stranger. It's easy to forget that we are also the stranger. We are even strangers to ourselves sometimes. Now, what do I mean by that? We often respond to situations in surprising or unexpected ways. Like just this past week, I got an email from our denomination, the United Church of Christ, that they are nominating the new general minister and president of our denomination. As I'm reading the announcement, I'm scrolling down, and I notice the chairperson of the committee is somebody that I'm familiar with. My next thought was, what? She's like only 26 years old. How is she the chair of our national search? My next thought was, Rev Tina, you're being ageist. Check on it. I work so hard to be non-judgmental, especially around age. And here I was immediately judging this person for her age. It was so unexpected. I was taken aback by my own thoughts. I was a stranger to myself. We see the world through our own eyes, which at times makes it hard to step out of that view and realize that everybody else does the same. Everybody sees the world through their own eyes, which means it can be challenging to imagine how others maybe perceive you. We are the strangers. Life, you know, is a give and take. Life is Ubuntu, after all. We are the strangers, and yet, if we are able to see ourselves and see other people, able to see that you're the stranger and they are the stranger, that we all are strangers, we'll be able to see our interconnectedness and move from fear and mistrust or disconnect into that connection and serving. We'll be able to serve not just other people, that's the easy part, helping others, but also ourselves. We'll be able to go deeper into knowing just who we are. Sobona. Sobona, that's an African greeting, which means I see you. God sees each and every one of us. We are strangers, sometimes to ourselves, sometimes to others, but never to God. God has created each person. God loves each person. Every person is worthy just because they are. Not because anything we have done or said. That's God's grace, after all. God is crying out, Sobona, to each and every one of us. God is yearning for us to do the same, to say, I see you, when we meet a new friend. God is calling out, I see you. I see your humanity. I see your dignity. I see your beauty in the imperfections. I see the ways you desire to grow. I see your belovedness, and I see your dignity. Friends, knowing that you are the stranger, just like Elijah was a stranger to this widow, how might that change how you move through your day? Might you yearn to go deeper and learn more just about yourself so that reactions like I had don't surprise you? Might you slow down and see, really notice strangers you encounter on a daily basis? Might you see strangers that you share your humanity with, that you share your divinity with? And that way, we won't be called to rush to make judgments or assumptions. Might then we be able to follow the ways of Christ and love our neighbor as ourselves and serve the stranger. After all, you are the stranger. May it be so.